thankful for God's word. God's word is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's changed my life. And I know it's changed yours too. So I'm just thankful for God's word. So let's open it to Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55. It's a little past Genesis and a little bit before Revelation, right there in the middle. Psalm chapter 55. And while you're turning there, I want you to picture a happy place in your life. Do you have like somewhere that is just special to you? It's like you might be a vacation spot. It might be somewhere that you just like to go hiking in or do like a day trip or something like that. Do you have like a happy place in your mind? You do? Okay. So I have a happy place. I love over in Elkins Way. The mountains over there, you got Elkins, you got Black Waterfalls, you got Canaan Valley, you got Seneca Rock, Spruce Knob, kind of that whole Durbungle of area over there. I just love it over there. Been going there a good bit, basically my whole life. I love it over there. That's one of my happy places, so to speak. So this is probably, did Larry say you've never been there? Never been there. You should all should go on a road trip over there. Who all have been over there, like in the Canaan Valley, Elkins area? Most everyone. Larry, you're just slacker over there. But I love it over there. That's one of my happy places. And we have some friends that go camping every year, typically. And this was a few years back, and they were camping at Canaan Valley. So when I say we go camping with them, how it typically works out is they got the camper, they got the trucks, they got all the fancy stuff, and we just kind of tag along. So if they go somewhere, like typically every year they go to North Bend, so what they'll do, they'll spend a week down there. What we'll do is kind of camp with them, but we'll just get there like early in the day and spend the whole day with them, share the campfire, just do all the fun stuff. Then when it gets at night, we'll just drive back to the farm or something. And then next day, we'll wake up and go. So we don't really camp, but we get all the benefits of camping. So that's what they were doing. They were doing that up at Canaan Valley. So I think that it was in the summer, so we took like a little mini vacation. So I think we got like a really good deal at like a cabin or a room or something at Black Waterfalls. So we were there at Black Waterfalls. Really pretty. I just love it up there. So we were camping and doing a lot of stuff. And this one day, I think we were out exploring. So, I don't know, Sinksagandy. I know Dad has talked about the Sinksagandy. Sinksagandy is just one of those cool places. It's like an underground creek that's going through a tunnel, so it's kind of like got a cave feel, and it's got underground water feel, so it's just really cool. So I think we did that day. We were just doing some exploring. Probably we might have went up to the rocks and, I don't know, Seneca Rocks. Who knows what we did that day. But we just had a really fun day, did a bunch of hiking and stuff, and we were coming back to the campsite. So it was late at night. Papa was with us on this trip, and for some reason, I was driving, and most of the times, Dad's driving, or Ryan's driving. I'm typically the guy that gets stuck in the back of the van, but this time, I was driving, so I'm going along, and the roads up and down. I don't know how those people over there, their brake bill, they have to replace their brakes probably like every month or so, I think, but the brakes are, we're going, and I'm driving, and we're going along, having a good time, and out of the corner of my eye, I see something, and I'm like, oh boy, and you just kind of see this blur coming. And I was going down a hill, and it's like in this big valley, and I just see this thing streaking across. I'm like, oh boy, what is that? So I don't know, do you speed up? Do you slow down? Then all of a sudden, here it comes, and it's a deer, just full on trucking it right to in front of me in the car. So, okay, you're going, and it's like at that point, you can't do anything about it. It's just coming. So you're like, whatever happens. So we're going, and here it comes, and then boom. All of a sudden, it smacked the side of the car. So it did not hit the front, did not bust an offender or anything, but it just smacked dead into the side of the car. Then all of a sudden, that deer just went right up against the window, and then you could just see it slide across the window, and we go on, and I look back in my rearview mirror, and you just kind of see this deer just kind of wobbling along, just kind of stunned and whatever. What that deer did, it came up, smacked the side of the car, and you're like, you know how like a kid sometimes like smushes its face up against the glass? That's basically what that deer did. It went out. And later, it was like, there was no rattling or anything, so we're like, okay, the car's fine. So we make it back to the campsite, and we get out, and we look at the car. Do you know what was on the side of the car? What? It's sort of a deer imprint. That deer gave us a car wash with his tongue. There was a tongue mark all the way from where he ran into the side, all the way down the back of the car, probably like 6 foot long, lick mark of that tongue. So when it hit, it just licked it all the way down, and that's how it did. So that is what happened on our trip down to Elkins. But what? Something happened, and I was not expecting that. I was not driving down the road. I was like, man, I cannot wait for for a deer to come by and just lick the side of my car. That's not something I was expecting. That is something you could call that a burden. Something unexpected came up in my life. And that's something in our lives, things will come up that we are not expecting. It blindsides us. We're not expecting it. It may be good, it may be bad, but we're just not expecting it. Tonight, we're going to look at things that bad, like a burden that will come up into our life. Catch this. Burdens are going to come, and it's up to us with what we're going to do with them. Burdens are going to come. It's just the day and age we're living. In this sin-cursed world that we're living in, burdens are going to come, but it's up to us what we're going to do with it. What's the next step? Once that burden comes into our life, what is that next step? We must be prepared for burdens in our life. As a Christian, we must be prepared for burdens in our life. I think one of the stories that comes to my mind is the disciples. When they were out on the lake and the winds started coming, the winds were crashing, and they say, "Lord, we're going to die. What's going on?" And of course, the Lord had preached all day, and he was down in the bottom of the boat, and he was sleeping. "They carest thou not that we perish?" The disciples were trying their hardest to row, but they had the answer right in the boat with them. That was Jesus, but they kept trying to do it in their strength. And how many times in our life, when something comes up in our life, we go to all the wrong places but Jesus Christ? So let's look at that as we read Psalm chapter 55, and we'll read verse 22. Read verse 22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a great, great verse? So just a little backstory on Psalm 55. It was written, of course, by David. It says it's a Psalm of David. And I looked up a little bit, like, see the Psalm 55 heading? Then below it, all those words, and a lot of times we don't kind of know what those means. It says, "To the chief musician," so it's possibly to Asaph or Jeduthun, some of the chief musicians there. And it says, "On Niganoth," so that's like the types of instruments that was going to be played with it. And it says, "Mischil." You're like, "Mischil? What in the world does that mean?" This kind of means it's like a psalm of wisdom. It has like some instruction to us. This wasn't just written by David, just his feelings or whatnot. This is implied for us. There's some wisdom in this psalm. And of course, this is a psalm of David. And many believe that Psalm 55 was written during Absalom's rebellion. So who here can tell me who Absalom is? Who's Absalom? His son, yes. So Absalom is David's son. So there was some stuff going on in the kingdom, and Absalom rebels against David. And David is like, "Oh my, what's going on?" And some believe also that this was when Ahithophel left David. So Ahithophel was one of David's closest friends, one of his counselors, and Ahithophel leaves David to go to Absalom. So there's a lot of stuff going on in David's life right here. His son is rebelling against him. One of his best friends has just rebelled against him and went to Absalom. So I don't know about you, that sounds like a burden, doesn't it? This is written when David is going through a burden. So I think it's very applicable to us. So let's read it one more time. Let's read it out loud, all together, verse 22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being such a great God to us. Lord, we just pray that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, just help me to preach what you'd have me to preach, Lord, and just speak to our hearts. Lord, this is very applicable to all of us. There's a lot of times stuff comes up into our life, Lord, and just help us to have the proper response and just help us to serve you more each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, point number one tonight is the release. The release. When a burden comes up into our life, what are we supposed to do? Point number one, the release. The release. Look, at that verse, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." That's the release. But you may ask, what am I supposed to release? When a burden comes up, what am I supposed to release? Look here in the verse, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." As we already said, who here has a burden tonight? Or who here will have a burden come? You may say, "Hey, I don't have a burden right now," but trust me, there's a burden that will be coming very soon. Burden is defined as a load, typically a heavy one. Something unexpected, just something that burdens you down. That is what a burden is. And there are many things that can be a burden in our life. Money can be a burden. You say, hey, I don't have all that I need to do this or that. That can be a burden. Family situations. I know there's a lot of different backgrounds. A family situation can just weigh heavy on us. That can be a burden. Temptations can be a burden in our life, or emotions, just the way you're feeling, can be a burden. I tell you what, my freshman year at college, first semester, it was me, Ryan, and one other guy. Three of us in a room. It was great. Fantastic. A lot of fun. We had a really good room. Second semester, Ryan got moved to a different dorm. He was the ARA. So I'm still a young freshman. Ryan got moved down to the dorm, and they bring in this other guy. First semester freshman. His name is Zach, and he's from Watoka, Tennessee. And he talks just like that. He's a good guy. He's a fun guy. But so there's three freshmen. Me, a boy named Nathaniel, and this boy named Zach. So all three of us freshmen in the same room. And Zach was a lot of fun. He had a lot of fun, but he had one fault that a lot of college guys have, but his was a little amplified. He liked to sleep, and he liked to oversleep in the mornings. So, of course, we have 7 o'clock classes down there, so you'd get up, I don't know, I typically get up 6, 6:15 if I'm really, my record, catch this, my record is 6:47, and I made it to a 7 o'clock class. That's pretty impressive. Not on purpose, I tell you, that was not on purpose, but it did happen. But this boy named Zach, he liked to oversleep, and he didn't have to wake up early, but he would set his alarm for like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. They're like, Zach, what are you doing? And catch this. He recognized that he would oversleep a lot. So he had this specialized alarm clock. Catch the name of this alarm clock. It was called the Screamin' Meanie 2.0. The Screamin' Meanie 2.0. That was the name of his alarm clock. Dead serious. The very first night I stayed with him in our room, and that thing went off. I thought it was the fire alarm. I jumped out of bed. I seriously thought it was the fire alarm. That is how loud that thing is. But he would still oversleep. He would just sleep right through that Screamin' Meanie. Me and Nathaniel, we'd be over there, and we're wide awake, and we're too tired to get up and shake his bed or turn it off, but he'd sleep right through it. And I'm just using that as an illustration that could be a little burden. Zach's a great guy, but that could be a burden, and that was a burden. And friend, there's a lot of burdens that we have in our life. So as you look at the release, what are we supposed to release? That's the burden. But how? How are we supposed to release it? Look, very first word there in that verse, it says cast. Cast. Cast has the idea to throw, eject, dispose of, remove. Let me read that. Cast has the idea of throwing, ejecting, disposing of, removing. This has the idea of getting completely rid of. Just not kind of throwing it and getting it right there. No, cast means to get it completely out of your life, get it completely away. And one way that we can release our burdens is through prayer. I'm so thankful for prayer. I tell you what, when I feel the closest to the Lord, when I am the closest to the Lord, it's when my prayer life is right. I'm so thankful that God gives us this wonderful gift of prayer, that we can go straight to the Father. I love prayer. And that is one thing, how we can cast our burdens is through prayer. I think many times, how many like fishing around here? Fishing, sometimes big fisher. But what you have, of course, your rod and reel, and you cast it out there and let it sit. And I think that's what we do with our burdens a lot of times. We cast it out there, okay, Lord, you got it. But what do? We reel it right back in. Give it a couple hours, give it a day or so, get our mind to kick in, then we reel it right back out. We don't fully cast it out. I think of, you see that in like a movie or in a TV show, like this city girl that's going out fishing, and she got her fishing rod and everything. She casts it and lets it go, and the whole thing goes in the water. What? She can't get it back, can she? And that's what we need to do. We need to completely get rid. We can't have that safety net. We can't cast it, then reel it right back in. I think, how many of you know, like at the mall or something, there's this big black thing that you can put like a quarter in at the top, and you let it go, and it goes zoom, zoom. How many kind of know what I'm talking about? I don't know if they still have them, but I remember when we were younger, they would have those at the mall or something, and you'd drop a penny down and zoom, zoom, zoom. Then right when it would get to the bottom, it would be zoom, 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 and it would go right down to the bottom. Now what I would do, and I think Ryan did what we would do sometimes, is we'd let it go, and we'd watch it, because it's just cool. I don't know about you, just watching the little coin go around and around, it's just cool to watch. Then right when it get down to the very bottom, we'd go, and we'd grab it, and we'd start over again, just so right before it would drop off, just so we could watch again. We weren't cheating anything, but we were just free entertainment, you know? What mom and dad could have done is just give us a roll of pennies and go shopping, and Ryan and I would just vroom, vroom, vroom. It'd been great. But what? That's what we do with our burdens a lot of times. We drop it. Okay, Lord, you got to go. Vroom, vroom, vroom. And we watch it for a little bit. Okay, Lord, you got it. And at the last second, we go, grab it right back. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying cast, get completely rid of. So what do we cast? We cast our burdens. How? We cast it. We get it out of our life. Like, this is a good part. Who? Who do we release it to? Look at the last part of that verse. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Isn't that a good thought? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. You may ask, well, why do I cast it to the Lord? Because 1 Peter 5:7, this is a wonderful verse, wonderful, wonderful verse. It says, casting all your care, or casting all your burdens, casting all your care upon him. Who's him? That's the Lord. Why? Catch this. For he careth for you. That's why God wants us to give us his burden, our burdens to him, is because he cares for us. Can you imagine? The God of the universe, he cares about us. He cares about things that come into our life. He cares about our burdens. I think of like a quarterback or something. If he's got a good receiver, and a good quarterback and a good receiver, which West Virginia hasn't had for a little bit, but if we have a good quarterback and a good receiver, man, when it's crunch time, that quarterback, he'll cast it. He'll just keep on throwing it to that receiver, and he'll keep getting it. And they care about the game, and they keep going. They keep casting it. And that's what we need to do in our life. We just need to keep casting our cares to the Lord. When stuff comes up, we just need to keep on casting. Keep on casting. Why? Because he cares for us. Now, there's a lot of people going around in our world today, in our town today, with a burden. And one of the biggest burdens, and I believe this, they have this weight on them. They have this uncertainty on them. Why? Because they have not placed the burden of their eternity on the Lord yet. They're going around with this heaviness, with this unknown feeling. Why? Because they have not placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I know we're the Wednesday night crowd. I know each of you by name. But that is the biggest burden that you can place on the Lord, is your burden of eternity. Putting our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That is the greatest burden that we can place upon the Lord. So point number one, we looked at the release. Release. Secondly, let's look at the relief. The relief. Look at the second part of that verse there in Psalm 55, verse 22. The second part says, and he shall sustain thee. And he shall sustain thee. Sustain, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, says, sustain means to bear, to hold, to support. And I like this last one, to maintain. To maintain. To hold, to bear, to support, to maintain. So that verse, and he shall sustain thee. When we give our burden to the Lord will give the relief because he will sustain us. I don't know about you, but our strength will fail. Our strength will fail. The more you live, the more things come up into our life is how much you realize just how frail and fragile we are. We may think we're the biggest, we're the best, we got this, we got that. No, our strength is just frailty compared to God. I think about like whenever you're working out or something, you start off pretty strong. You're going pretty good. You can do some push-ups, do some curls and everything. But by the end of that workout, you're pretty tired. I know last year, I had a couple free hours. I think it was Tuesday, Thursday. So me and Samuel, we remember Samuel coming to church over a year ago. We would go to the gym. So we'd go and we'd work out and everything. And then we would go back to the dorms after we'd work out. And we'd take a shower and everything, get ready for chapel and everything. Because we didn't have classes there in the morning. But some days, like when we'd do leg day or something, we'd get out to the car, we'd finish our workout, go out to the car, drive back to the dorms, and we'd get out of the door, and we'd get out of the car walking back to the dorm, and we'd kind of be like a drunk sailor. We'd be wobbling. Why? Because our strength had failed. We just had our legs, and our legs were like noodles. We did not know what we were doing. Why? Because our strength had failed. And I don't know about you, like when you're hiking or something, we just did a hike a little bit ago, and it started off pretty steep. And when he's first going out, he's like, okay, now I'm feeling pretty good. And then we get a couple hundred yards, Dad's like, ha, 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 ha. No, he wasn't quite. Yeah, he was kind of that bad, but no, he wasn't. But why? Your strength. I know, I need to. So we get going and on that hike, and you get about half a mile in or a little bit more. Your legs get tired. You start sucking that wind. Why? Because your strength fails, and our strength will fail. So if it's just sustaining on us, it will fail. If we cast our burden, and if we try to get sustained by us, it'll fail. But catch this part. It says, and he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. Who is the he? We'll look right back. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So the he is the Lord. Revelation 1:8. And this is a great point. This is the Lord. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Catch this, the Almighty. This is the Lord who will sustain us. It's not man. It's not man's strength. It is the Lord God Almighty. And I think so many times we come to church and we get so used to God and the Lord, and just we get too used to just hearing about God and hearing the preaching and everything, that we truly forget who God is. We truly forget who God is. God is the creator of the world. He is the Alpha and Omega. Here comes the Greek. You ready for it? You know what Alpha is? It's the very first letter in the Greek alphabet. You know what Omega is? It's the very last word. So it's basically like R-A-Z. It's the first and the last. Our God, there is no beginning. He is the Almighty God. And as Christians, we need to get our all back of God. Now, you can tell that I'm dad's son because my southern West Virginia accent, the all of God, the A-W-E of God. We got to get our all of God back. So many times we're living our life with just maybe a knowledge of God, but no all of God. And we got to get back to the all of God. So the relief. First, the power, and the power is in the Lord God Almighty. And as I've already said, if we cast our burdens on anything else, it will not sustain us. It will not sustain us at all. But the world tries. The world tries to give us relief in lots of different things. You say, hey, a burden comes up. If you'd ask the world, what do? The world would say drugs. Drugs will sustain you. And this is sad, but you just go to downtown Clarksburg and you just see the people. I don't know about you, but they do not look relieved to me. If you ask them, they may say something, but way deep down, they are not finding relief. The world says you can find relief and alcohol will sustain you. I don't know about you, but growing up, beer and alcohol was very rarely mentioned because dad and mom would always call it devil's poison. And that is so true. Alcohol is devil's poison. It will not sustain you. The world says immorality will sustain you. Money will sustain you. You know, the Bible says money is the root of all evil, right? No. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I don't know about, I'm sorry, Miss Connie. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, a side note, how many times is our love just mistorted? Because our love for God is not right. We have to have our love for God right, and then our love for everything else will be right. But the Bible says, love not the things in this world, neither the things that are of the world. So we cannot love the things of this world. We got to love God, and that is what will sustain us. You may say a position at work will sustain us, and a host of other things. This is what the world tries to impose on us, will sustain us, but they will not sustain. The only thing that will sustain us is the he in that verse, which is the Lord God Almighty. So under the relief, look at the power. And second part under this, look at the personal touch. Look at the personal touch. I love this. It says, and he, which is the Lord, shall sustain thee. It doesn't say the Lord will sustain the president, the Lord will sustain the most wealthy, or the Lord will sustain the pastor, the Lord will sustain this or that. No, it says the Lord will sustain thee. I'm thankful for this. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a personal God. I don't know about you, but Buddha, Muhammad, and all the different religions, Mary, all that, they are not a personal God, so to speak. I love the story in the Old Testament. I think it was Dagon, and they got the Ark of the Covenant in there. And they said, they're bragging about God. They put the Ark of the Covenant right beside of their God, Dagon. They come in the next day, and Dagon's down on the ground. I think it's hilarious. I love this story. So these humans, they had to lift their God back up, right? So they lift it back up, go throughout their day, go to bed, wake up the next day. Guess what? Dagon's face planted again. So what do they got to do? They got to pick him back up. So I don't know what these people are thinking. They're like, oh my, what's going on? Next day, they walk in. Dagon's face planted with his head off and his arms are broken off and everything. That's the God that we have. We serve a living God, and this living God is a personal God. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." God cares about us. He loves us. He cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He cares about us. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." Catch this. "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't know about you, but a brother is a pretty personal thing, isn't it? I've been stuck with a brother for about 20 years now. No, not stuck. I've been blessed with a great brother for 20 so years now. I don't know about you, but Ryan and I, we're super close. He's my best friend. He knows things about me nobody else in the world knows. I know things about him nobody else in the world knows about. We are close. We've done everything together basically our whole entire lives. We're as close as you can be. But catch this. This verse says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend is the Lord God Almighty. I'm thankful for a personal God that we have. So point number one, the release. The release. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Then we saw the relief, and he shall sustain thee. Then lastly, point number three, the reward. The reward. Look at the last part of the verse. It says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Suffer, according to Webster's dictionary, says to allow or to permit. He will never permit. And then be moved means to sway, to swagger, or to totter. So what is he saying here? He's saying he will never allow you to be moved, to be rattled, to be shaken around, to be moved by this world. It's kind of funny. I was looking up what suffer meant, and then there was like another word that I looked it up. And you know how like you have the word, I was on my phone doing it, and it has the word, and then it uses it in a sentence, right? Most of the time you see it like at a spelling bee or something. There's really smart kids like, spell Mephibosheth, and they're like, can you use that in a sentence? And they do it and everything. So they did that online. I was reading it, and it used the word, and then it used it in a sentence. Now, again, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's just kind of funny. So it used this word that I was looking up in a sentence, and I'm there, and I read the sentence, and they used another word in the sentence explaining the word that I didn't know. And I'm like, that'll just make you feel really smart. When you're there reading the sentence explaining what a word meant, and they used another word that you didn't know. So now you got to look up that word. But random doesn't mean anything. But I was looking up, that's what suffer means. Suffer means to allow or to permit, and be moved means to swagger or totter. And there's two parts of this reward I want to look at. Two parts of the reward. First, look at the rock. The rock. Now, if you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm 18, just a few pages back to Psalm 18. Now, this is really good. Really, really good. And I want to explain this right. Psalm 18 was written before Psalm 55. So this is David. And look what David writes in Psalm 18. This is before everything happened in Psalm 55. But look what he says in Psalm 18. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Just look at all this that he's calling God. He's calling him my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, my salvation, and my high tower. That is who David had a picture of God. This is who God is. He's saying, God, you are my rock. God, you are my fortress. God, you are my deliverer. You're my God, my strength. I will trust you. You're my buckler. You're my salvation and my high tower. This is the picture that David had of God. This is really good. He's saying, God, you are so great. God, you are so mighty. God, you are so high. And then look, catch this. Something came up into his life. Absalom rebels against him. Ahithophel leaves him. And then you're stuck here in Psalm 55. And because of what he already knew of God, look what he says. He says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't that so good? David's saying, okay, I've seen what God has been, what God still is. He's my rock. He's all this wonderful stuff. Just because the burden comes into my life, I will not move. Why? Because Jesus is the solid rock. I will not move. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And let me tell you this. God has not changed one little bit since David penned those words. When David was going through saying, he's my God, he's my buckler, he's my salvation, all that stuff, God has not changed one little bit. So we can just have the same confidence that David had being anchored in the rock. Psalm 102, verse 27 says, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Our God does not change. He is always the same. As I've said, I love going over into Elkins, and I love going over there. One time we were going, I think it was with a guy's camp out, and there's this place, it's called Table Rock. Have anybody ever heard of Table Rock? Okay, a couple, good. So there's this place called Table Rock. I'm sure most of you have heard of Blackwater Falls. So it's kind of right in the Blackwater Falls, like right here, and then you got Table Rock over here. And there's this road called Canaan Loop that connects it. And it's rocky and it's muddy, and there's basically no way you can get over there unless you got like a lifted side-by-side or four-wheel drive something. So the way you get to Table Rock is you come back out of Blackwater Falls and go all the way around the world, and it seems like forever, but you can finally make it to Table Rock, and it's really pretty. We went out there hiking. We were just hiking along and going, and it was really fun, and I think we were with a youth group, and we took our bikes, and we were going over the rocks and just going through the mud puddles. It was a lot of fun, but you get out there, and you hike out there probably a mile or so, and there's just this big slab of rock on the side of the mountain. And you're like, wow, this is really cool. I remember we were tired from biking and everything, so all of us guys just kind of like lay back. And it was like in the fall, so it was like 60 or so degrees, and the sun was coming down. It was perfect. It was beautiful. That rock was massive. It was not moving. Tell you what, if that rock was moving, we'd all be in a lot of trouble because something bad would be happening. But that rock is sure. That thing is not moving at all. But I'm thankful that our God, he's a more solid rock than that thing is. Even if something would happen and that rock would move, our God will never move. Now, how many of you know who Dwayne Johnson is? Dwayne Johnson. I don't follow like professional wrestling much or huge bodybuilding or anything like that, but I enjoy sports, so I have a pretty good general knowledge of sports and people in the sports world. There's this guy named Dwayne Johnson, and he's just massive. He's huge. I don't know what his height and weight and everything is, but he's basically picture dad when he was 20. No, not even close. But Dwayne Johnson, he's just huge. He's massive, this massive bodybuilder. And his nickname is The Rock. It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's just this big, massive hulk of a man. And you picture, as far as human strength and everything goes, he would probably be one of the biggest, one of the strongest guys. And his nickname is even The Rock. But I'm telling you what, he cannot even hold a candle to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our reward. We got the rock. And then secondly, second part of this is the rest. Look at the reward. Once we cast our burden to the Lord, first we're on the rock. And then because we're on that rock, we get the rest. Look, second part, he says, "He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." I don't know about you, but you have the most rest when you're not moving. Right? I don't know. If you're tired, you're like, "Well, I'm going to go take a nap, okay? And I'm going to go ride a horse or something." You're not going to take a nap like when you're moving or something. When you say, "Hey, I want to go take a nap," what? You go upstairs or something and lay down on your bed and you just get comfortable and you rest. You are the most comfortable and you get the most rest when you're not moving. And that exactly was what this verse says. "He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Hence, once you cast your burden to the Lord, he will give you rest. He will give you rest. Now, Ryan and I enjoy roller coasters. We love roller coasters. There is not a roller coaster that we will not attempt at least once. At least once. And then after that, maybe that once, and we might not do it again. But Ryan and I, we'll ride anything. We love it. Dad, on the other hand, will ride some of them. He typically wants, if we go to like a new amusement park or something, we'll be there. And Mom and Dad, Mom's like our food getter. We'll get like a food pass for the day or something. And she'll just be getting food all day while we're riding roller coasters, then shove our mouth with food, then go ride another one. Smart idea, right? Eat a lot, then go ride roller coasters. But you do that, and Dad will be have like this new roller coaster. So Ryan and I will go do it, and Dad will be like, "Well, will you go ride it, and then you'll tell me how it is." So we'll go ride it and come back, and we'll come off the roller coaster, and we're like, "Yeah, Dad, we think you could ride that one." Then there'll be another one who's like, "Dad, you cannot ride that one. You'll die." So it kind of depends on that. But we were at Kings Island one year, and there's this big roller coaster called the Diamondback. is probably one of the tallest in the world. They keep building new ones and taller ones. But at the time and everything, it's a big roller coaster. There's really no loop-de-loops or anything. It's just right up a hill, right down a hill, keeps on going. It's funny. The other night, I was talking to Brooke, and you know that sound of going up a roller coaster, the... I love that sound. That's like adrenaline. Here we go. I was talking to Brooke about it, and she's like, ah, it scares me to death. She hates the tick. So, but we were going. We finally got Dad to ride that roller coaster. Then Dad got his courage up. Okay, I can ride the Diamondback. I can ride the Diamondback. So we're up there, and your feet are dangling a little bit. It's got like a platform, but you kind of got to jump up, and it straps in and everything. So your feet are still kind of dangling. So I think Ron and I were beside each other. We're going, and Dad's behind us. And you do not know your pastor until you see him on a roller coaster. It is awesome. Ryan and I absolutely love it. Dad's back there scared to death. I'm questioning all my life decisions. Again, you're going up the hill. Ryan, yeah, here we go. That's, oh, Lord, help us. Lord, protect us. Lord, help us. He got this death grip on it and everything. And it's hilarious. You get right up near the top. And Ryan and I, man, look around. It's beautiful. The park. Oh, it's great. And Dad's just, that's pretty much how it is. Why is that? And once we go down, Ryan and I, yeah, this is great. Dad, going all the way. Why is Dad not comfortable? Because he's not resting. He's moving. He's going around. He does not have rest because he is moving. But I'm thankful and scared. Yes, he's probably that too. Very scared. But why? Because he's moving. He's scared, and all that is because he's moving. He's not comfortable. But we can have rest in God. Why? Because he says we will not be moved. When we are anchored in the rock, the Lord will give us rest. And that's the complete opposite of this world. Because the world is always moving. The world is always shifting. One day, a year ago, they'll say to do this and do that. And then the next year, they'll say, actually, that causes cancer. Don't do that or this. The world is always changing, always moving. But the Lord, he is our rock. He does not move, and he will give us rest. Psalm 55:11 says, in God have I put my trust. Or in God, I put my trust. I've cast my burden on the Lord. Therefore, catch this. It says, I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Because I put my faith in Christ, because I trust him, I've cast my burden to him, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. So we've looked at the release, the relief, and the reward. Now, a lot of you know we enjoy Westerns. We watch Westerns a lot. They're a lot of fun. As Dad, mom sometimes gets tired of us watching Westerns. But Dad was like, one thing about Westerns, right is right, and wrong is wrong, and right always wins. So I am thankful for that. It does teach some lessons. We'll go with that. But we're on this series right now. We kind of go in, like, up and down, like, which series we're watching. Because, so a lot of the Westerns, like, they only went for a couple seasons, and then they switch, so a different network will take them and all this stuff. But right now, we're in the season of watching The Texan. How many of you have ever watched The Texan? Rory Calhoun. We enjoy The Texan. I was joking the other day, it's like, if I was going to be a cowboy in the West, I would have been the Texan. I just like the Texan, just the way he goes. That would have been me. But just like in the Westerns, one of the biggest outlaws in the West was Jesse James. All of us know that name. He was born in Clay County, Missouri in 1847, and he was a big Confederate guy. And a lot of historians believe what made him such a criminal is he never thought the war was over. He just kept on fighting. Just like the wars keep on going, and he thought himself as like a modern-day Robin Hood, like stealing from people, giving to the poor. And one of the notes in here says, there's no evidence that he ever gave to anybody else other than himself. But this is kind of cool, too. It was called the James Younger Gang, and he operated from Iowa to Texas to West Virginia, according to this site. So who knows? Some of us could be related to Jesse James. But it says he had over 20 bank and train robberies. Pretty good, and hauled in an estimated $200,000, and that's back in the day. So I should have done the math, but that's a lot of money. So there was a reward that the governor of Missouri issued for Jesse James, and it was a $10,000 reward. So if you want to do the math, I did the math on the $10,000. That is equivalent, and it could be off. I looked it up, so there's a bunch of different numbers, but about $3.5 million today was the reward on Jesse James. And this guy named Robert Ford got him and killed him. But that's a pretty big reward. That's one of the biggest rewards, I think, in the West. Equivalent to about a lot of money today. That was a big, big reward. But friend, can I tell you, the reward of casting our burdens onto the Lord, the rest that he gives, that doesn't even compare to the reward of the money of this world. So as I close, I ask you the same question. Do you have a burden? Probably a lot of us do. If you don't, I hate to tell you, but watch out because something's going to come on. It's just the world that we live in. And I hope I've given you some steps on what to do when that burden comes up. So point number one, we looked at the release. Cast your care upon the Lord. Just give it all the way to the Lord. Secondly, we looked at the relief. It says he will sustain us. That's an awesome thought. He will sustain us. Do you want the relief that comes by casting your burden to the Lord? Then lastly, point number three, we looked at the reward, the rest that God gives. Do you want to be anchored in the rock in this moving world? Just as I talked about, how many of you remember the story at the beginning about the deer hitting the side of the car? That was unexpected. I was not expecting that. That was the burden that came up into my life. What was the next step, do you think? After that deer hit, we got back to the campsite, we saw that big lick mark. What was the next step to figure it out? And again, it's not nothing big or anything. What was the next step? Any ideas? What was the next step after that deer hit and licked? Thank God, yeah. A little less spiritual. You could do that. But one thing you can do is get a bucket and sponge, right? And just clean it up. Just clean it up a little bit. That's not that it's that big of a deal. It could have rained and gone through or something like that. But the next step after that burden came on is get a bucket and sponge and just kind of clean it up. And there, good as new. No scratches, no dings, no dents. We're all good to go. So the title of my message tonight, and I'm giving it in reverse order, is go grab a bucket and sponge. Go grab a bucket and sponge. Why? Because when a burden comes into our life, what's the next step? What is the next step? And I think we just talked about it. You got to release it, then you'll get the relief, and you'll see the reward. That is what we need to do. So folks, go grab a bucket and sponge. When a burden comes up, take that next step. Go to the Bible. Go to God's word. And go grab a bucket and sponge. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being such a great God. Lord, just thank you for giving me the ability to preach. Lord, it's not me. It's all about you and your word. We do pray that when burdens come up into our life, that we'll go straight to you, Lord, not to anything else in this world. We just thank you, God, for being such a wonderful Savior to us and just a personal Heavenly Father who truly does care about us. We do pray, Lord, that each and every one in this building tonight, Lord, will just go to you when something comes up into their life. Lord, we just love and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.